Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Welcome once again to the Open Door Baptist Church, the Tuesday morning men's prayer breakfast and devotion. Today is Tuesday morning, October the 9th, year of our Lord, 2012. Today's devotion is in Jeremiah 37 and 38. The title of the devotion is Stuck in the Mud, where we're going. That'll be chapter 38, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about chapter 37 and lead up to 38, which is where we want to be. So, chapter 37 of Jeremiah, the scripture says that the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, he made Zedekiah the king of Judah. But Zedekiah nor any of his people didn't pay any attention to any of the messages that Jeremiah received from the Lord. So King Zedekiah, he sent a couple of men to Jeremiah with this request, and the request was pray to the Lord God for us. So Jeremiah was he was free to go about any way he wanted to. He could walk around about any way he wanted to because he hadn't been imprisoned yet. That time is coming, as you'll see when we get down to the next chapter. But it seems that the scripture says that Pharaoh's army had come from Egypt towards Judah when the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, heard that they had left Jerusalem. Jeremiah received another request. Jeremiah received a word from the Lord to tell the people that the people of Judah, that Pharaoh's army had come to help them, and they was going to go back to Egypt, to their own land. They was going to take the Chaldeans with them. So the Chaldeans, Scripture says the Chaldeans will come back to fight again and will capture the city and burn it, the Scripture says. As a matter of fact, in chapter 37, verses 8 and 10, it says, "And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, just saith the Lord, deceive not yourself, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For although ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but one wounded man among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire." So you see, they was kind of serious about that. Scripture says, I just read verse 9, I believe it was. It said, "Deceive not yourself, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us." But in all reality, they will not depart. the Chaldeans will come back and fight again, and they're going to take this city, Scripture says, and burn it. Said, don't fool yourselves by thinking that they're just going to leave you alone. They're right serious about this. They're going to come in back and take you out, so to speak. They're going to burn this city down. So Jeremiah left Jerusalem to go to the land of Benjamin, which was his homeland. He had some personal matters. It was some division of property that he had to go and take care of. So when he got to the gates of the city of the land of Benjamin, the guards that was guarding the gates, they arrested him and said, you're going over to the Chaldean side, aren't you? And Jeremiah says, no, I'm not going to do that. And they said, are too. And Jeremiah said, oh, I am not. Chaldean said, are too. And then, so they went back and forth. But Jeremiah convinced him that he was not going to the other side, so to speak. So all the princes, the Scripture says, the city, which was the officials of the city, they was mad, they was angry, Scripture says they was wroth at Jeremiah. So they just beat him up, so to speak, and they put him in jail. Scripture says put him in jail in the house of Jonathan. Jonathan the scribe, seems that his house down in the basement, they had made that into a jail, and that's where Jeremiah was thrown. So King Zedekiah, he sent for Jeremiah a couple of days after he was in jail. He sent for him and told him he wanted to talk to him in secret, in private. So they sent for Jeremiah, and Jeremiah come up to King Zedekiah. And Zedekiah asked him, he said, have you heard any messages from the Lord? Jeremiah said, oh yeah, I got something for you. I certainly have. The Lord said that you're going to be handed over to the king of Babylon, to King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, you going down. He's talking to Zedekiah. Jeremiah said, as well. He said, by the way, why did you put me in jail? What did you do that for? Your prophet said that the king of Babylon won't come against you. But what are they saying now? Apparently they weren't right. Your own prophets weren't right. So what are they saying now? Jeremiah said, once again, by the way, why did you put me in jail? I said, please don't put me back in there. I said, this is the jail I just spoke of in Jonathan's house. So if you put me back in there, I'll die. I said, I don't like it in there. So, pardon me, King Zedekiah said, okay. So he commanded his people to release Jeremiah out of the jail and into the courtyard, where you could walk around freely, and also where you could go to the Golden Corral, Cracker Barrel, and get something to eat. So apparently they were starving him in jail. Okay, and that was a portion of chapter 37. I just wanted to kind of lead you up. This is where I want to be in chapter 38. This is I've titled Stuck in the Mud, and you'll see what that means here just very shortly. Chapter 38 says, then, forgive me for trying to pronounce his name, just bear with me. Then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, Jedaliah, the son of Pashur, Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words of Jeremiah that had spoken unto all the people, saying, by the way, all these folks that we couldn't hardly understand the name, they was the princes of the city, the princes being the royal officials, so to speak, of the city of Judah. You see, all of them are sons of somebody. The fathers of these were the former high-ranking officials. Now their son is the high-ranking official, so to speak. So that's the princes of the city. Verse 2 says, "Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live." A prey in this case means a prize. It means, so to speak, it means you'll get to live, as the scripture just said, "and shall live." Jeremiah 21:8-9, scripture says, "And to this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I have set for you the way of life and the way of death." Verse 9, "He that abides in this city shall die by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey," again, for a reward, for a prize. Also in Jeremiah 45:5, "And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all the places whither thou goest." Verse 3, "Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given to the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it." Remember, the king of Babylon's army is King Nebuchadnezzar. And the city will surely be given to the hand of the king of Babylon's army. Jeremiah 21:10, "For I have set my face against this city for evil," for the city being Jerusalem, "and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given to the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. Therefore the princes said unto the king," the princes, I just read the names in verse 1, and that's the princes, the officials of the city, "said unto the king," said, "we beseech thee, we beg ye, let this man be put to death," talking about Jeremiah, "for thus he weakened the hands of the men of war that remaineth in this city, and the hands of all the people, speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of the people, but the hurt." The princes is telling the king that Jeremiah is trying to harm them, not to help them. Jeremiah 29:7, "And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it." For this P-R-A-Y, not P-R-E-Y, that we were talking about a minute ago. "And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." Also in chapter 26, verse 11, "Then spake the priest and the prophets and to the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die. He has prophesied against this city, as ye have heard." Verse 5, "Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he's in your hands, for the king is not he that can do anything against you." The Zedekiah is just kind of giving him up. He said, "Y'all do with him what you want to." He said, I can't do anything to stop you. Matthew 27:24, y'all remember this, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather than a tumult was made, a riot was made. You remember this was crucifixion. He took water and washed his hands before the multitudes, saying, "I am innocent of the blood. This person, see ye to it." You remember the story of the people, the religious people, so to speak, was telling Pilate to crucify the Lord, crucify him. And Pilate said, okay, what's his offense? What did he do? And they didn't say what he did, because he was going up and down the road preaching and teaching to the people. That was his offense, I guess. But the people didn't give an answer. They just said, kill him, kill him. They didn't answer the question about what did he do, what was his offense. They just said, kill him, kill him. Also, about the same thing in John, they loved the praise of men more than they did the praise of God. That's really what they was telling Pilate. Pilate was listening to the people, not listening to reason. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Verse 6, then took they Jeremiah and cast him to the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. He obviously let him down in a well, so to speak, and a dried up well, obviously, according to the scriptures. They said there wasn't nothing down there but muck, wasn't nothing down there but mud. Certainly nothing to eat and nothing to drink. So that was his punishment. They lowered him down in the scripture says a dungeon, but a dungeon in this case is a well. In Lamentations 3:55, you remember Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations. Says, "I called upon them upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon." That's where he was, in a low dungeon, wasn't it? Verse 7, listen to this. They lowered Jeremiah down in the well and left him. And so listen to this part. Now, when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting at the gate of Benjamin, in chapter 39, a little bit about the eunuch, verse 15, where the Lord came to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, "Go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil, not for good. They shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee out of that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given to the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid." Now, just a little FYI here. Y'all know this already. I just refresh your memory. A eunuch is a servant, so to speak, in a household of royalty, and the eunuchs were often castrated, especially when they was going to be around a lot of women in a king's harem or a king's house. So they just castrated them. Well, I don't believe I want that job. But that was the situation a lot of times. verse 8. Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies." So, seems that Jeremiah had found a friend here, doesn't it? Zedekiah done all he could do to make Jeremiah's stay in prison as comfortable as could possibly be. He kind of had a desire, it seemed like he had a desire to help Zedekiah along the way and to follow the messages that Jeremiah had gave him from the Lord. So, in verse 11, so Abimelech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags. That's old clothes that folks had thrown away and discarded, the cast clouts and the old rotten rags, and let them down with cords in the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Abimelech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thy armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah. Y'all get the picture here. They put the clothes and the rags under his arms, obviously, where it wouldn't hurt him while they was pulling him up out of the well. Here's what it appears to me. pardon me. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, up out of the dungeon. Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord, the third gate, the third door, obviously. The king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing. Hide nothing from me. Tell me the truth. I want to ask you a question. I want the truth. Jeremiah 21, 1 and 2. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, when King Zedekiah sent to him, Pashur the son of Malachiah, Zephaniah the son of, Masariah, the priest, saying, inquire, I pray thee of the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. If so be that the Lord will deal with us, maybe the Lord will do something to help us. He'll deal with us according to all of his wondrous works, all the miracles that he can perform. Surely he can do something for us, that he may go up from us. Also, in 37... 17. Let me refresh your memory. Zedekiah the king took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there he is. Remember, I just told you this a second ago. There he is, for he said, thou shalt be delivered to the hands of the king of Babylon. Verse 15, Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And I will give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? He said, if I tell you, you won't listen to me, you won't hearken to me. In Luke 22:67, you remember this story? The Sanhedrin's, the chief priest and the elders talking to Christ, and said, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, if I tell you, you won't believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. It was verse 68. Verse 16, so Zedekiah the king swear secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, okay, buddy. Okay, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death. Neither will I give thee into the land of these men that seek thy life. But I will not, Isaiah 57:16, for I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for thee. Spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. Jesus is saying, I won't accuse you forever, neither will I be always mad, be angry. for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. Verse 17, and then said Jeremiah to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth to the king of Babylon, he wants you to go ahead and surrender to the king of Babylon, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thy house. 2 Kings 24, and Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon. He and his mother, his servants, his princes, his officers, the kings of Babylon, took him into the 8th year of his reign. And a little bit farther down, 24, verse 14, he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained save the poorest sort, except the poorest sort of the people of the land. Just the poor folks was left. Verse 18, but if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon, remember in verse 17, if thou wilt assuredly go forth, but verse 18 says, if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall the city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hands of the Chaldeans. This is chapter 32, verse 4. But shall surely be delivered to the hands of the kings of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth. His eyes shall behold his eyes. Mouth to mouth, eye to eye, face to face, mano e mano, man to man. Verse 19, Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that have fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hands and they mock me, lest they got any ideas about hurting me. I'm afraid that that's what they're going to do. They'll deliver me into their hands and they mock me. Isaiah 51:12, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Obviously, this is Jesus speaking here. He's our comforter, isn't he? I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? Shall be made. I made the grass. I made the man. That was verse 12. It's verse 13. And forgettest the Lord thy maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. Verse 20. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. They won't hurt you. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord which I speak to thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. Amen. Chapter 40, verse 9, and Gedaliah, the son of Achim, the son of Shaphan, swore unto them and their men, saying, fear not to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land, serve the king of Babylon. It shall be well with you. Moving on, just about done here. Verse 21, but, it seems like there's always a but, ain't it? But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord has showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. For those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on, the friends have lied to you, and have prevailed against thee. They've beaten you. They've slain you, so to speak. Their feet are sunk in the mire, stuck in the mud, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all the wives and their children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their land, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon. Thou shalt cause the city to be burned with fire. Fire, once again. Speaking of fire, 39:8, the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the house of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Verse 24, then Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. Don't tell anybody about this, and you won't die. That sounds easy enough, doesn't it? But if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, remember the princes in verse 1, all those names we couldn't pronounce, that's the princes. Remember, if the princes hear, the royal officials of the city, the princes hear that I have talked with thee, and they come unto thee and say unto thee, declare unto us now what thou hast said to the king. Tell us what y'all been talking about. Hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death. Also what the king said unto thee. Verse 26, then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Remember Jonathan's house? He's the one that had the prison in his basement, so to speak. He certainly didn't want to go down there. He don't like jail too good, obviously. Again, let me remind you, chapter 37:20, where we just were. Therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O my Lord the King, that my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Up a few verses to 15, wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah. There was anger of Jeremiah. Here again, the princes, they smote him, they beat him, and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, but they had made that prison. 27:28, then came the princes to Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all the words that the king had commanded. What the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. The matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison, not in the well. You see, once again, they drew him out of the well. He could walk around in the courtyard here, obviously. In the court of the prison until the day Jeremiah was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken as well. A couple more verses, 37:21. Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah to the court of the prison. Remember a couple of minutes ago when we read this. And that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street until the bread in the city was spent. Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Also, one more verse, chapter 39, verse 14. Even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, that he would carry him home, so he dwelt among his people. They released him so he could go back home to Judah, to his own land, in Judah, the land of Judah. So, finally, it seems that Jeremiah was not too well liked, as we just read, being a prophet of God, obviously. He wasn't too well liked by the princes, by the officials of the city, the royal officials, so to speak. But it was kind of a different story with the king Zedekiah. He was he treated Jeremiah. He treated him fairly right for somebody that was in prison. He cared somewhat something about him. Sometimes it's good to have friends in high places, isn't it? Especially when it means if you're going to be in jail or out of jail. But We also read that Jeremiah was in jail for a little while. But it was all for because that he was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. He was a faithful prophet of God. And here again, we always going to have opposition when we're serving the Lord, aren't we? Always. Speaking of friends in high places, remember the part about Ebed-Melech, the eunuch that helped him out so well. He tells the King Zedekiah that Jeremiah was in the dungeon, and Zedekiah, as I just told you, he released him out of the dungeon, and he could go back around in the courtyard. And the last verse I just read, in the verse 39:14, I think it was, it said he was released to go back home to his own homeland in the land of Judah. The word of the Lord.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.